We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. Okay, it's a pleasure to be here. I was actually just thinking, COVID has robbed us of an SCC custom that I really used to enjoy. I remember, back in the day, before COVID, our senior pastor used to have this thing where he will stand at the front before he preaches, and he will say 10 to 3 people, give them a high five, and say hello. And we all remember those days, yeah? Where some people in the congregation were displaying, their unique ability to count to 3. They just kept going. But it was good times. It was good times. So I thought, I'll try something, but it can't be the same, obviously. But why don't you turn to your right, look to your right, look to your left, just give a wave next to the person next to you, yeah? We will just trust that you're smiling under your mask by faith. All right. So I want to take this time to just thank the eldership of the church for the opportunity to minister to you and to myself. I also want to take this time to just thank my amazing wife, who unfortunately couldn't be with me today. She's not feeling very well, but she's been very supportive during the week as I was preparing, and she's been praying for me. And I want to thank everyone who's been praying for the service and who's been praying for this message today. And last but not least, I just want to thank God for trusting me to share this with you. Amen. Okay, are we ready to dive in? Okay, so today's reading comes from Psalms 139, verses 13 to 16. Media team, if you can help me, I'll just get reading and you guys will catch up. For you created my inmost being. You knit together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So this is part 3 of our series called Spiritual Growth. In the first week, we had Elder Mbodi teaching us about looking at our spiritual conditioning through the message, God's Gift. And then last week we had Mrs. Yvette Kagbo teaching us about the importance of fellowship for a believer. Today we want to focus on understanding my unique shape in ministry. I feel like actually Mr. Samuel touched on this a little bit while he was leading prayer, but we want to focus on understanding my unique shape in ministry. The title of the message is My Unique Shape. Now, sometime in the past, I used to go to a few churches here and there, and it would do the usual thing, preach a powerful word, I'll respond to the altar call, I'll go to the front, I will say the sinner's prayer, and I will mean it. I'll mean the words in my heart, I'll say it, and I'll mean it, and I'll be involved in it. And I'll make that prayer. And you see, what was happening here is I had a longing for God. I had a longing for God, but there was just this one thing where I also wanted to remain doing my own thing. I wanted to give my life to God, but I just also wanted to keep my own thing on the side. Now, a friend of mine invited me to SCC, and once again, the same thing happened. Powerful preaching. Justin responds, comes to the front, and I remember on that day I was actually being prayed for, and at the back of my mind I was actually thinking, this is all going to just play out the same. In a few weeks' time, I will not be here. I'm just going to do the sinner's prayer, get a few goosebumps for a week or two, and then I'm going to be gone. But I didn't understand what was happening in the background. You see, my mindset at that time was that ministry is a thing, for pastors, for elders. It wasn't a thing for people like me. My mindset was, no, I just needed to come to church, grab that label so that I could be labeled a Christian, but also still do my own walk on the side. That's what I was after. However, as we all know, God didn't warn me that this time things were going to be different when I was invited. I came to the front for the altar call. You know, I did the sinner's prayer. And this time around, something different happened. I was introduced and plugged into this thing called discipleship. Now, discipleship then helped me understand that God is not in the business of collecting display items. When I was growing up in Africa, most of the households in Africa used to have these display cabinets by the corner of the living room or the lounge, you know? And we all know them. And they had these fancy, beautiful things like china sets and all these fancy little things inside these display cabinets. Now, there was just one, you had the amens. There was just this one unwritten rule that every kid knew. The display was there, but you were not meant to touch or play with the things inside the display. I'll help you understand what would happen. You see, if you were one of those kids that thought, let me try this, let me touch, let me play, let me see what happens, your parents would normally, they were quick to just lend some sharp guidance on your cheek that would nicely direct you to the play area. There was just no discussion. They just nicely guided you to where the toys are, and you knew your place. How many of us know what I'm talking about? I have to be careful. My mom and dad are watching, so I have to be careful. Now, I'm not trying to cause trouble or make enemies here, but the point I'm trying to make is, you see, when it comes to God, there is no display cabinet with cute little china sets and all these things that cannot be touched. When it comes to God, every single person, every single one of you who has been purchased by the expensive royal blood of Jesus will be, there is a use for you. When it comes to God's kingdom, there is no spectator, there is no cute china pot or china set. There is every single thing that he has purchased, he intends to use. Amen? Amen? The Bible tells us, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that mean? That means that you and I are unique as God's original masterpieces. That means that you and I were born for a purpose. Say this after me. I am unique as God's original masterpiece.
I am unique as God's original masterpiece.
Okay, now say this with belief. I was born for a purpose.
I was born for a purpose.
And whatever the devil tells you, that is the truth. That is the bottom line. You are God's original masterpiece, and you were born for a purpose. Now, we know the story of the creation in Genesis 1. We know how we learn how God, there's this empty void and dark place, and we know how God comes into play, and he takes all of that and makes it into this amazing masterpiece. We all know the story. Now, just in the same way as God took his time to fashion the heavens and the earth, He has taken his time with you, to fashion you, to take everything and put it in you as it is, so that he can fashion you for a particular purpose. So you were fashioned by God. You were fashioned in the hands of God. It says in the scripture, you knitted me in my mother's womb. He took his time. Say amen if you're still with me.
Amen.
Now that we understand that we are shaped by God, that we are shaped for a purpose, you now need to know How then can I identify how God has shaped me? I'm going to share today five things that will help us discover how are you shaped for ministry. Point number one, your spiritual gifts are not random or accidental. 1 Peter 4:10 reads, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it tells us to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. That's in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, we are taught that each and every one of us has a gift from God. Peter and Paul are very clear that you have a gift. I don't know what you've been told. I don't know who you've been listening to. But the Bible says that you have a gift from God. The Bible encourages us to desire the gifts of God. And the Bible then also goes on to tell us what these gifts are for. They are not for show. These gifts are to be used to serve the body of Christ. It's very clear in the Bible. Now, I know whenever spiritual gifts are mentioned, people, it's one of those things. You usually just think of healing. You usually think of prophecy. And yeah, that's just what you think when you hear the statement spiritual gifts. But I need us to understand that there is more spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has in store for us. There is things such as evangelism, there is teaching, there is exhortation, there is encouragement. There is so many more gifts that all of them in the body of Christ are useful when used by God. They are useful in a mighty way that you can't even imagine. None of these gifts are classed as little gifts. After all, they are from the Holy Spirit himself. Okay? So I need you to understand that there is something in you, there is something in me that God has packaged in you, and he is gifting the world a solution. He is gifting the world something through you. What that means is the only person who can interfere with that, you see, God has already handed the gift. Now, if someone hands you a gift and you don't open it, and then you say, I don't know, like you just don't open it, the only person who stopped the gift being experienced is the one who's been handed the gift. So I need you to understand that you have already been handed a gift. The only one with the capability of denying us that gift being experienced, being used in the body of Christ, is you. Are we together?
Amen.
Okay. So, have you ever come across people where you speak to them, you were down, you speak to them, and all of a sudden, you feel uplifted, you feel encouraged, you feel like, I can take life on again, and you just can't put your finger on it. Every time you speak to them and you are like that, you come out feeling different. And you're always like, how does she do it? She knows how to listen to me. She knows the very words to say to me. How does she do it? That person is gifted. They have a spiritual gift of encouragement. Or if you come across someone whom every time you see through their teaching, you know, the words of the Bible just leap out into your face and they come to life and you're like, wow, like, how does he get that? Where does he get those revelations from? How does he do that? And you're always amazed by it and you're wondering, how is he doing it? That person is gifted. They have a spiritual gift of teaching. You see, if these were not gifts, we will all be doing them. It wouldn't be amazing you. It wouldn't be fascinating you that how do they do it? The reason something in you says, wow, how, is because there is a backing behind that gift that is beyond what you can understand as human ability. There is a backing that you recognize that there is something powerful and mighty and strong behind this ability that I know a human shouldn't be able to do. That is a spiritual gift. And you and I have that in our lockers today. We have that gifted by God. We can't all be like Miles Monroe and teach like Miles Monroe. We can't all be like evangelists like Billy Graham, you know, like going out into the world. We can't all be that, like that. But just like these two gentlemen, you and I have spiritual gifts that can also be mightily effective in the body of Christ. All we need to do is surrender them and watch how God makes a difference through that little gift that you doubted, through that gift that you were doubting yourself about. Watch how God makes a difference in the body of Christ. Your spiritual growth, is tied to your understanding your spiritual gifts and using them effectively for God's kingdom. Point number two, monitor your heartbeat. You see, your heart is part of your unique shape. Monitoring your heartbeat will help you clarify what you love. So, what things burden your heart? We all remember the man Moses, right? Moses was a man burdened with seeing how his fellow Israelites were treated by Egyptians. The issue was burning so much in his heart that at one point he saw an Israelite being mistreated and he just reacted and killed the Egyptian. The issue was so strong in his heart that he could not do nothing about it. He felt like he had to act. He felt like he had to do something about it. And you see, when God then heard the cry of his people and God wanted to move in the world, who did God look for? God looked for Moses because, you see, Moses' heartbeat was the same as God. Moses had the same heart as God when it came to the freedom, the rescuing of God's people from this slavery that they were in. We all know how the story goes. Moses tries to deflate it. He tells God, "Wrong number, I'm not your guy. Try Aaron." He tries to deflate it, and when that doesn't work, Moses tries to teach God on how his speech is not really set up for this job that he's being called for. And guess what? Despite all of that, God didn't focus on that. Do you know why? Because God, when he was creating and forming Moses, knew that when he was knitting him in his mother's womb, he had placed a particular heart that carries the same frequency as God when it comes to this matter. So when it came time for God to move, he knew where to find the heart that carries the same frequency as him. He came to Moses. Moses tried to deflate it to Aaron, but Aaron did not have the same heartbeat as Moses. That heartbeat was in Moses. What am I saying? I am saying that there is a particular matter, there is a particular thing in your heart that is on the same frequency as God. That is, I can't mimic it because it's not in my heart. I can't match it because it's not in my heart. So when God's looking to move in that area, in that particular matter, he will come to that. He knows where he knitted and hid it when he was creating you. So he can never be lost in where to find it. He comes directly to you. Amen, church? I need us to know this. I need us to believe this. I need us to understand this. Philippians 2:13 reads, "For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purposes." There is something in you, in your heart, that has been placed by God that is in the same frequency as him. What does your heart beat for? Do you desire to help the homeless? You know, the hungry on the street? Do you carry a burden for teenagers whom you see hanging out in gangs, getting involved in drugs, ending up in jail and ruining their lives? What does your heart beat for? What is that thing that you are in bed, you are thinking about? You know, you're tossing and turning, it's in your mind, you can't shake it off. What is that thing? Monitor your heartbeat. God speaks to you through your heartbeat. God placed, it is not a mistake. Your heartbeat has been placed in you for a particular reason. Monitor your heartbeat. I love how the Bible doesn't hide the particular details on Moses actually when his heart beats and he sees the Israelite being killed, being mistreated, he responds by killing the Egyptian. I love that the Bible doesn't actually hide that, because you see, that gives you and I a clear picture on what actually happens when you have a heartbeat that is not plugged in to God. What happens when you have a heartbeat that is not directed by God? You see, Moses was trying to do the right thing. But in trying to do the right thing, he ended up doing the wrong thing. He ended up killing someone. And that is an example of what happens when you have a heartbeat and then you exclude God from it. Amen. Your heartbeat needs to be plugged into God so that he can direct it accordingly. Church, I want to encourage us, offer your heart to God. The one who gave you the heart for the particular matter is also the one who has the equipment, he has the solution for the matter. You don't need to invent it, he's got it. He saw the problem, he made you as the solution, so what makes you think that he stopped there? He's got everything planned, just offer your heart to God and he will take care of the rest. Donate your unique heart to God and watch him use it in a mighty way to change lives. Point number three, your abilities can be linked to the agility of your ministry. I'm going to read Exodus 31:2-4. It reads, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of you, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him, this is God speaking, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craft. I have filled him with that," God says. The text we've just read is a very clear example of that. Our abilities come from God. God doesn't waste any ability in you. He has stored it in you for a particular time, and when the time comes, he will call for it. All you need to do is be willing to offer it. In order for you to discover your abilities, you need to ask yourself some key questions. What am I good at? Do you sing? Are you a good talker? Are you a good listener? Are you good with finances? What are you good at? What are the things that naturally come to you that you could use to serve in the body of Christ? They just look easy. They just, everyone else looking at you is wondering, how did she do that? They look easy. What are those things? Don't ignore them. They were planted in you by God for a reason. Your ability can be used for the advancement of God's mission if you submit them to God. There's this great book, you might know it, great book and movie. It's called Gifted Hands. It's about the life of a man called Dr. Ben Carson, American. And the story talks us through how when he was a young man, he realized that he had an extraordinary hand and eye coordination. He had extraordinary abilities. And what happened? He paid attention to these abilities and God used him. And do you know what he ended up doing? He became the first man to successfully do an operation separating conjoined twins. You see, Dr. Ben Carson could have ignored those gifts. He could have just thought, yeah, I can move my hands and my eyes can see it. And he could have just left it there, but he understood that that was different from all the other people. The ability was different from everyone. So he understood that there had to be a reason God is doing something with it. So he offered it to God, and God used it in a mighty way. He could have gone the wrong way. He could have used his eye and hand coordination abilities to pick locks. He could have gone a completely different way, but he understood to offer it to God. And you see, the very same thing that God did through Ben Carson's abilities is the very same thing that God can do through the abilities he's planted in you and I today. God has stored these abilities in you for a purpose. And it's crucial to understand this for your spiritual growth. Number four, your personality was made by God. I know this is a tough one to believe. We'll quickly read Mark 3:13, verses 19. It reads, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those who he wanted. And they came to him. He appointed 12 that they may be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means son of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now, believe it or not, your personality is not a mistake. I know. My personality is not a mistake. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? Are you sentimental? Are you the type of person that is analytic about every other detail? You just won't move without analyzing things. It doesn't matter. God wants to use you. All God wants is for you to take that personality, lay it in his hands, and trust him to shape and mold it like a potter molds clay in their hands. That's all God wants. Let's go into it. So Mark 16 and 17, Jesus is choosing the 12 disciples. Now, we know from Luke 6, 12, 16, the parallel of this text, that actually Jesus had an all-night prayer before he actually did this. What's amazing here is Jesus does an all-night prayer, and from an all-night prayer, he comes and picks 12 people. And in the 12 people that he picked, I need you to follow, after doing an all-night prayer, he still picks people whom he said he's nicknamed Sons of Thunder. He still picks people whom he's named Sons. And if you read the Gospels, you will understand why. These guys tried to call fire on people. That they were on a different vibe. They had a short fuse. But God sees that personality and says, I see you, Sons of Thunder. I want to include you in my plan to take out this movement that I'm ushering in into the nations. Amen. Sons of Thunder. How many would go to a church that is actually led by someone called Sons of Thunder? You'll question that. You'll question that. But Jesus, after praying, he's informed. He takes them and he says, I want these in my team. We have another famous personality, Peter. His personality is well documented. I don't have to tell you too much about it. But you see, God chooses someone like Peter, someone like James, someone like John. And isn't it ironic that these are actually the guys that end up present in the transfiguration? I would have taken well-behaved guys. I would have. But these are the guys with their personalities end up experiencing this unique moment of the transfiguration. What does that tell us? That tells us that your personality is not a hindrance to God. God can use you with your personality. You don't have to eliminate it. You don't have to put it on mute. God can use you with your personality. I remember this one time I was traveling, And I was speaking to one of our pastors, Pastor Mike in London. And I was just sharing with him some of the concerns, the fears, the things that were playing in my mind, the worries about the challenges I was going to face, where I was going. And he just gave me, you know when someone hits you with a bit of wisdom and you're like, wow, he just gave me a response that stuck with me. He just said to me, Justin, when a surgeon is doing an operation, a surgeon has a collection of scalpels. They know their scalpels very well. The surgeon knows which particular scalpel to use for a clean, shallow cut in what particular part of the body. The surgeon knows which scalpel to use for a deep, clean cut in what particular of the body. They know their scalpel. He told me that God has picked you as his particular scalpel to go out to these people, and he will use you to successfully do his cut. He was like, Justin, you don't have to do anything. Just be yourself. That's all. Just be yourself. God will use you with your personality. God will use you as you are to successfully cut and do a clean cut. You don't have to put a show or put on any extras. He will do it himself. Church, your personality, my personality, they are not a limitation to God. Our personalities, at their best form, at their truest form, are actually an expression. They are actually a reflection of the many facets of God. Don't ignore your personality. Do not try to sideline your personality. God can use it. Amen. Just going to quickly move. The last point is experience. So your experiences are valuable tools in the hands of God. Romans 8:28 reads, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love them, who have been called according to his purpose." God uses both what you see as good and bad experience in your life for his glory. Through your life experiences, the things you experienced when you were a child, when you were growing up, when you were a teenager, when you were an adult, your pains, your breakthroughs, you know, the things that you have gone through, your victories, your losses, God can use all of these things to grow you spiritually and also mold you to serve in the ministry effectively. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 puts it this way, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." See, Dr. Alex Peary was here a few weeks ago for our conference, made a similar point. He put it this way, if I go to someone who is in the process of quitting drugs, they've been abusing drugs, they're hooked, but they're now in a place where they wanna stop. And if I go to that person and they're telling me, oh, it's really hard, it's tough, like, you know, and I say the words to them, I understand why, yeah, I really understand what you're saying. I am lying to that person. I do not understand. I have never been in a place where I've abused drugs and they've had to battle with stopping. I don't know about the withdrawal symptoms. I am lying to that person. You see, I would have to have experienced it to be able to relate to him on a level that is actually true. I would have had to have experienced it, and God can then use that particular experience. It may be embarrassing or whatever you feel about it, but God can then take that particular experience where I struggled and I came out of it and use it as a ray of hope for someone who's battling right now and say, he was like you, but look at what I've done with him now. You can end up there. Your experiences are valuable tools in the hands of our mighty God. Church, I want to encourage us, examine your experiences. They will help you discover how God has prepared you for your unique ministry that only you can fulfill, because of your unique experiences. Now, I know there may be people who are saying to me, I hear you loud and clear, I hear what you're saying, it makes sense, but is this just one thing that you're not understanding here, Justin? My experience is different. My experience, there is no way that God can touch that. There is no way that God will use someone like me. I want to encourage you this morning and tell you that God does not, I repeat, God does not throw away any person that he has made in his image. I want to encourage you this morning that you may feel that way. But just even as we learned earlier in the text, God is a master from the very beginning. He has been a master at taking empty, dark, void things and turning them into masterpieces. You are not his first project, and you will not be his first failed project. Offer your experiences to God and watch him use them for good. Open up your experiences to God. You see, that doing this is understanding. It's understanding that God can use your experience, understanding that God can use your experience as a valuable tool is spiritual growth. Church, I want to encourage us this morning to take your shape seriously. It is not accidentally planted in you. God created you in your inmost being. He knitted you. It says he knows my frame. Things that hold you together, he knows them. He created you. And you don't make, how many of us have seen a building being built? Quantity surveyors, amen, Phil? He's not a quantity surveyor. Quantity surveyors are particular about expense. They will not buy a beam or frame, or they will not add anything for nothing that will cost them more. They are very particular, put things that I need to hold up the house so that they put everything that the house needs to have to be stood up, and they know exactly how to calculate. And what am I saying? I am saying God has calculated everything in you. He has calculated and framed you in a way where he knows that you are that beam, you are that trust. If he puts a particular weight on you, you can hold because you are shaped that way. You are shaped that way. So God knows who to call to when he gets to a time where he wants to move a particular way. He knows that your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personalities, your experience are the very unique shape that he can and he will use if you only give it to him. Your shape has a purpose. I want to encourage us this morning. I'm just going to pray for people. I want to encourage us, if you're here today, make up your mind, those listening online, make up your mind not to sit on the fence. Make up your mind not to be a spectator. Make up your mind not to be one of the China set cute little things in the display cabinet. Make up your mind that today I want to use my unique shape for the advancement of God's kingdom. This is not something that God has just left for pastors, for elders, or for people who carry some passionate things about church, but every single one of you has been shaped. In fact, every single one of you has been made and shaped for a particular reason. There is a ministry assigned to your name. There is a calling assigned to your name. Your shape, your accent, your looks, everything about you from A to Z has a value, and God can use it. I want to encourage us today, give your shape to God and let him use it. If you're here today and you're saying, I want to change that, I want to give my shape to God, I want to stop being on the fence, I want to do something about this, I want to pray for you. I also want to pray for people that are listening to this message and you've not given your life to Christ. And you may be thinking, my life is empty. My life is void. Things just feel dark. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to pray with you as well and encourage you that if you are feeling this way right now about your life, God wants to bring light into your life. God wants to bring light in your life. So if I could just ask us to stand, if those apply to you. I'm just going to pray with you. Heavenly Father, my God, Father, I give you the ones that in their mother's womb, Almighty God, you created their inmost being. You knitted them, oh my Lord. You framed them, Almighty God, a particular way for a particular reason. And my Lord, here they are this morning standing up and saying, Father, they understand and they want to work with you. They want to offer their hearts to you so that you can use their unique shape to advance the gospel. Father, I just want to pray for my brothers, for my sisters here who are stood up. I want to pray that Holy Spirit, just even as you were hovering over the waters that were void, that the darkness and the emptiness, may you shine your light on these that are standing here this morning. Holy Spirit, I want to pray for those that are set here or listening to this message even online and saying, I do feel those things. I don't know this Jesus that you are talking about. My Father, I just want to pray that even as they are stood up, even as they are praying with me, may you shine your light in them and give them a revelation of who you are, Lord Jesus. May you shine your light on them, Almighty God. Through these, my Lord, may you take them and form them, Almighty God, into an arsenal, Almighty God, of weaponry that will be used for the advancement of your kingdom. May you help them. May you help the shapes that you formed, Almighty God, not be stolen by the enemy to be used for other purposes. I pray this particular prayer because there's a lot of young people here that I've seen today. Father, we pray for them, the way you have shaped them. Father, you are using them. You will use them for a particular purpose. So we pray that you preserve them. We pray that, Father, you grow them. We pray that you mold them. We pray that you use them, Almighty God, in a mighty way, Almighty God, that we'll be able to appreciate, Almighty God, what you have gifted us, Almighty God, in this world through them. So, Father, I give this to you, Almighty God, and I pray and I thank you that from this day onwards, those who have stood up, their lives will not be the same. From this day onwards, those who have answered the call, their lives will never be the same because they are not moving in their own abilities. But from today onwards, that spiritual gift, that heartbeat, that ability, that personality, those experiences are now advancing forward, begged by the power of the Holy Spirit. And for that, we know that, my Lord, there is only one route to this, and that's success in the ministry, Almighty God. So we thank you, Abba Father. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.